And as I call the deacons forward, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, in the midst of a week of changes, let me throw one more change at you. Can I do that today? Part of doing a pastoral internship is towards the end of your academic program, you know, you typically connect with a church and you do things in a local church, you know, that a pastor would do to familiarize yourself with the life of a church, what a church functioning correctly or not functioning correctly looks like. And you use that, you know, sort of as experience when you go off into your ministry. So we have an intern now at Sugarland Bible Church. I'll bring him up in just a minute. His name is Alex Garcia. His wife's name is Stephanie. His daughters are named Ashley and Caitlin. Now that's confusing, isn't it? Because we already have an Ashlyn. So I had to work hard mentally rehearsing that so I wouldn't butcher it. Hopefully I didn't. And he's basically has completed most of his units at Dallas Seminary studying for pastoral ministry. So he's in the internship phase of his program. And so he asked if he could do his internship here. And I said, well, I'll have to pray about it. Then I said, well, wait a minute, let me get this straight. We get free labor but no pay? Okay, I prayed about it. You're on. He's also an attorney. You guys say, oh no, not another one. So we've got dueling attorneys here at Sugarland Bible Church. But one of the things that we're going to start him off with is leading our communion service. So I'm going to switch microphones with him. And if you would, I would love it if you welcomed to our communion part of our service, Alex Garcia.
Good morning. And thank you for the opportunity to internship here at your church. As we approach the communion service, I'd like to start with a reading of scripture from the Gospel of John, John 1, 29 and 30. And in this passage, John the Baptist sees Jesus approaching, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then in verse 30, he says, "This is the one about whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is greater than I am, because he existed before me.'" The reason he existed before John the Baptist is because he is God. He's not just man, but he is God. So what John was saying was, he's the one, the God-man. He's the one who we've been waiting for, we've been longing for since Adam and Eve rebelled. He's the one who the Father has chosen as the sacrifice. He's the one who the Father has chosen to be slaughtered for us to satisfy the wrath of God that we deserved, but that he will take in our place. He's the one who we worship this morning and remember this morning in the communion service. You see, God couldn't just blow off sin. He couldn't ignore it. His righteousness and his holiness and his justice demanded payment and punishment for sin. And the options were either we suffered that punishment, being eternally condemned, or there would be a substitute. And that's where Jesus came in. So Jesus died or took the death that we deserved, eternal death, so that we might pass from death into life. This is the Lamb of God who we remember this morning in the communion service. And the communion service is designed for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to remember Jesus. And so if there's anyone here this morning who's not a believer, we'd ask that you just let the elements pass by you. And if there's anyone who's who's not a member of this church, that's not a problem. Everybody can, all believers can participate in communion this morning. Finally, before we partake in the communion service, I would like to take an opportunity of silent prayer for us to confess any silently confess any known sin in our lives, an opportunity to confess sin to God, because 1 Corinthians 11 does lay out punishment for believers who approach the communion service without having confessed sin. So if we can just take a moment of silent prayer right now. Father, we approach the communion service in humility and in wonder and in awe that you would send your Son to be the substitute for us, to die for us. And we ask that you bring these things to mind to us as we participate in this ritual that has meaning for us, this ritual that is established for us in the communion service. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remembering these things about Jesus as our substitute and who Jesus is as the God-man, at this time we'd distribute the bread. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In other words, the Father has laid on the Son the iniquity of us all. Jesus, when he was on the cross, bore our sins in his own body. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he says, "This is my body, which is given for you." In other words, it represents his body, which is given for us. "Remembering these things, shall we eat together?" Hebrews 9:2 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. An eternal sacrifice was needed in order to satisfy the wrath of God. And that's why Jesus said when talking to the Father in Hebrews 10:5, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." In other words, Jesus was saying that the bulls and the goats and the sheep that were the sacrifices of the Old Testament, those don't satisfy the wrath of God. Instead, the Father desired the life of Jesus as the sacrifice. And that's why Jesus, two verses later, in Hebrews 10:7, says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I will do this for Alex Garcia. I will do this for Sugarland Bible Church. I will do this for all of humanity." With those thoughts in mind, we'll distribute the cup at this time. Thank you. also on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and said, "This cup is poured out for you, which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus shed his blood for our salvation. Remembering these things, shall we drink together? Father, we thank you for this moment to have communion together, and we worship you, and we ask that you humble us before your mighty throne to remind us of the wonder and the amazement of the salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his matchless name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen.